this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona. This is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, welcome back. Tuesday, 26 March, year of our Lord, 2024. We're going to go to Switzerland and Nur bin Laden. One of the stories we've been covering from its inception, but it's starting to heat up, but it's not getting the attention given everything else that's going on, is this situation with the World Health Organization, Nur bin Laden. Nur, are you actually in? Are you in Geneva today?
I am.
So walk us through. Let's reset now so everybody can understand where we are, because this May we're coming down to a massive fight. And people should understand, one of the reasons we asked Nur to join us is that part of this budget fight that we got taken out in the summer was put back in and never explained to anybody was funding for the WHO. So Nur, tell us exactly where we are, because another huge article I saw yesterday about people's medical sovereignty is going to be taken. I think this is even out of the United Kingdom. People were talking about it, that what's happening right now with the WHO, fully funded, at least from the portion that the United States puts in. Ma'am.
Steve, I'm so happy you brought me on to discuss this topic, because as you said, there's so much going on in the world right now, by design, obviously. And the WHO and developments coming out of Geneva here cannot be ignored, or must not be ignored, because it's very serious. This is very much a chosen vehicle of the globalists that they're using to completely transform the way we live. And so the point that I'll start out with regarding the WHO and this, quote, pandemic treaty is that there is a lot of confusion by, as well, design. And I'm going to try and break it down as best as I can. But the first thing I'd like to say is that we cannot lose sight of the fact that there are two tracks. There are two instruments that are currently being drafted, one of which, the so-called pandemic treaty, agreement, convention, framework, however you want to call it. And the second track is the amendments to the international health regulations. And so you have two groups working here in Geneva on a periodical, with some sort of regularity, leading up to the World Health Assembly, which will take place in May, exactly 2 months from now, almost to the day. And these two documents, these two instruments, will be presented then during this assembly and will be, you know, voted on. The second point that I think is really important for people to understand is that, yes, obviously the WHO is central to this, but the process is being driven by the member states, the 194 member states of the WHO and the various stakeholders. We know that, for example, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is the largest or second largest, I believe, after the United States contributor to the budget of the WHO. And so the WHO must be seen as a vehicle, as I mentioned, but also as some sort of middleman that is helping the coordination of this new system under which a citizen in our respective nations will be beholden to. So this is just to try and set, you know, the structure of what is really happening, because people are saying the WHO is going to, you know, take away our sovereignty, et cetera. But we have to understand this is being driven by our own governments. And there are two letters that I want to mention. The first letter being the one that was published in March 2021, which had 23 leaders, world leaders, most notably Boris Johnson, then PM, and of course Tedros Ghebreyesus, who pushed and called for a treaty to be quote, developed by the WHO. So we have the leaders of our own countries, our supposed representatives who are pushing this. And you had another letter, which was published a week ago, hosted on the Gordon and Sarah Brown website, their organization's website, Gordon Brown, also former PM of the UK, signed by over 100 global leaders calling for the urgent need for the WHO, quote, for the WHO to reach an agreement come May 2024 at the World Health Assembly.
Let me just, the counter argument, let's play devil's advocate for a second, or put forward the argument that they make and see what your response is. They're saying, hey, they did this initial letter of the leaders in 2021 because that was, they couldn't blame Trump anymore. And it was still fairly chaotic. Everybody had different responses to this. Africa had a different response. India had a different response. We now know, if you look at the data, that if they didn't push the vaccine and did hydroxychloroquine and other treatments, the results were better. But at that time, without blaming Trump, they were looking for a solution that's a global solution. And they went to the globalist in Geneva, which is, and people should understand, it's not New York City with the UN. It's the globalist thinking has always been not just out of Brussels, not out of Davos, but it's really always emanated from Geneva, as you've pointed out with the League of Nations and all of it, and even from the times of the European nations. The globalist thinking is always coming out of Geneva. So they were looking for a globalist solution that they could lean into, right? Why is that? Why is that in and of itself bad?
I think what we need to understand is that there are several centers of power across the world. You mentioned a few of them. Of course, the city of London is a big one. But for some reason, Switzerland and Geneva in particular was selected as the base where they would host all of these organizations, including the WHO, including the UN more generally, and all its daughter organizations, the WEF, as we've discussed many times. And so, yes, these discussions are happening here as we speak. In fact, there is currently taking place until after tomorrow an intergovernmental negotiating body. They're sitting in the offices a few kilometers away from where I'm sitting. A few miles, I should say, away from where I'm sitting, and they are, quote, drafting this this treaty. I don't want to call it a treaty because I've been working very closely with James Roguski, who I know your audience is very familiar with, and it's not really accurate to call it as such. This is also part of the confusion operation that is being deliberately rolled out so that people don't really know what's going on with the WHO. But in essence, what they're trying to instore with this instrument, with this document, is a framework convention. And so I did a whole podcast episode with James Roguski where he really explains what this means and what they're essentially trying to get countries to go on board with is to create a similar system to what was created for climate change and a convention of parties. And they've been doing this. I mean, we just looked at the model that they've put in place since 1992, you know, with the Rio conference. And every year you have these people, these delegates from our countries that meet and discuss how they're going to tackle climate change. So they want to do the same thing with pandemics and essentially create this mammoth bureaucracy whereby each year, you know, they will pump so much of our money, taxpayer dollars money, in order to determine how they are going to roll out this business model that they're creating. And this is also something that we've been heavily focused on discussing with James Roguski, who's been doing amazing work on this subject. But people need to understand that this is not about health at all. And it's not so much, you know, the drafting and the negotiating that is going on behind the scenes, behind closed doors, is not so much about health. You know, I think they pretty much all agree that they want to control us, that these nations, our governments, want to control us. They want to control our movements. They want to control what we inject in our bodies. They want to control how we will pay for things in the future. Everything is tied with the vaccine passports, i.e. digital IDs. So what's really going on behind closed doors is a business deal. With the help of the WHO, you have these, quote, stakeholders, you know, their favorite word. They have these stakeholders that are essentially setting up and creating a fear-based economy, a pandemic, quote, pandemic-based economy. And yes, they are, via the International Health Regulation Amendments, planning to give the Director General, currently Tedros Ghebreyesus of the WHO, powers to declare not just, you know, a pandemic. They have different terms of it. They have different levels. They want to give him the unilateral power to declare an early action alert, a pandemic emergency, and the big one, a public health emergency of international concerns. And so Tedros, or whoever will take his place when his mandate is up, will be sitting in his office here in Geneva. He will be looking at all the data that he's collected from all the different member states that have sent in the data through their different surveillance program and offices and hubs that they're setting up in all the different countries to be able to determine a pathogen that is, quote, risky. And then the whole pharmaceutical emergency industrial complex will be rolled out with the vaccines, and they will use the different powers that they have, you know, to put quarantines, to change our way of life in order to force people to get this product that they absolutely do not need, that is actually poisonous, but that makes a lot of money for these stakeholders. What we're going to see with these instruments is basically the legalization and an expansion of powers of these, quote, stakeholders. And we got a glimpse of what it was like during the so-called pandemic of COVID. And this is what they're preparing for, quote, the next one. And they say it, you know, in these different letters that I mentioned, in all their documentation, in their speeches, you know, Tedros at the World Government Summit, et cetera, there will be another one. This is what they're saying. I mean, if there really was one in the first one in the first place, but they will fearmonger, they will use this pretext, this Trojan horse, and who will suffer and be made to bear the consequences of our own leaders' deceit. It is us, the people.
Okay, let me, I'm going to break this down for our audience for a second, or have you break it down. Let me go back. You said this is all about control. It's not about health, not about medicine. That's just what they're putting up in front, the shiny toy to people to focus on. This is all about control. And you say one of the reasons that there are one of the methods they're using, it's fear-based, and they're setting up a fear-based system. Explain that to our audience. What is the fear-based system, and how is this a method of control?
There are two things. They're using this fear-based system for two things, for control, but also as a business opportunity, as I just mentioned. So we'll look at the control first. We just need to rewind a couple of years back to see how they controlled our lives. And what we saw, as I just mentioned, was just a preview of what is to come. Because with these two instruments, the amendments to the international health regulations, specifically, more so actually the amendments to the international health regulations than the so-called treaty. I feel uncomfortable calling it a treaty because it's not a treaty. It's an accord or a convention. And so with the international health regulations, I mean, what they are going to do is force different members of society, not just the government. It's not just the government that is going to issue different rules and regulations or even laws to curtail their own population's freedom. But take an example, and this is written in the proposed amendments. Let's say you own a company that runs these types of cruises. and you have your guests or your clients that are on the cruise, and you need to come back to shore for everybody to disembark. If a pandemic is declared according to these international health regulations, stakeholders will be made to force their clients to comply with regulations emanating from the WHO, which will have, according as well to the amendments to the international regulations, states, member states will have what is referred to as a national international health regulation authority within their own government. So this will be instituted with the adoption of these amendments. And so an independent company will have to comply with the authority within the country that then reports to the WHO. But I stress again, it's our own governments that are willingly and driving this process with the WHO.
So let me get to, I've got other bigger picture questions. Let me stay in the weeds here for a second on the implementation. Mm-hmm. It obviously, just like Paris was not an accord, TPP, Paris wasn't a treaty. They didn't want TPP to be a treaty. They didn't want, they never want anything to deal with climate to actually be a treaty because they know they can't get 2/3 of the Senate to vote for it. And you need a 2/3 in the Senate to basically, agree to a treaty or have the treaty take effect here in the United States. If it's an accord or a convention, which they're working on, walk me through, not the cruise ship example, but walk me through in the United States. How would that directly impact us giving up our sovereignty or us giving up our individual and personal freedoms to an international body headed by a guy that's been installed by the Chinese Communist Party? Walk me just through the mechanics of it.
This is where I really urge people to actually read the International Health Regulation amendments versus the treaty, because that's where this comes into play, where every citizen's lives will be disturbed by these amendments, by these regulations, by these rules of the International Health Regulations and Amendments. This is really important because this is where the quarantines come into play. This is where the vaccine mandates come into play, where the travel identification, digital ID identification comes into play. This is provided for in that instrument. If we look at the convention, the quote pandemic convention, this is really about setting up the business model. So we were talking about control, and then we were talking about the business opportunity that these quote pandemics provide for the stakeholders. And James Rogusky puts it really well. The convention is about making a deal behind the scenes. It's nothing else. It's about the different member states wanting a piece of the pie of this very lucrative, endless opportunity deal that is being made. Because imagine, Steve, how many of these early action alerts or these pandemic emergencies in various parts of the world, right, that they can declare, and off the back of that, recommend these vaccines and these pandemic-related products, as they refer to them. So you're going to see an unprecedented level of, again, fear-mongering when these, quote, emergencies are going to be declared, because so many people stand to make a lot of money. And, you know, we had the numbers. I don't remember them when they came out a couple of years ago when the COVID jabs were rolled out, but you had all of these people who had invested in pharmaceutical companies, and the pharmaceutical companies' shareholders. They had just made so much money from these jabs. And so they are trying to basically set up this economy. They've created an economy, quote, out of thin air, basically. And it's purely fear-based, as we mentioned several times during this call. And they succeeded pretty well the first time around.
Yeah, let me. And you're saying this is more comprehensive. So you have the World Health Organization, right? In the World Health Organization, you have member nations, states. Right? Nation yeah. states, and then you also have another category of stakeholders, because Bill Gates and others give money to. I think it's been rumored that Bill Gates gives up to 50% of their budget is matched by Gates or these billionaires. The World Health Assembly. Is that a subset? To explain to the audience, is that a subset specifically set up by the World Health Organization to deal with this accord or this convention, and the amendments are being done through the World Health Assembly?
That's a great question, because it is very convoluted, the entire structure of it. What we need to understand is that you have this vehicle, the World Health Organization. You have 194 member states that have signed up to it. And every single year, there is an annual assembly, and this is the World Health Assembly, which takes place here in Geneva every May. And this is when they get together to, it's like a company, you know, when you have an annual board meeting, in a sense. And so they get together, they review what they've been working on over the year, they review the budget, and they review, in this case, coming up in May at the 77th World Health Assembly, they will be reviewing the final versions of these two documents, of both the amendments to the international health regulations and this pandemic framework convention, however you want to call it. So both documents, you have had these two groups working on them here in Geneva, meeting regularly with the aim to present these documents to the member states. But again, it is the member states that are driving these processes, and they are working behind the scenes, because a lot of the sessions, you know, are not videotaped and are not shared with the public. You have many back room deals going on, and as I said, you know, they want certain countries to comply with these drafts. Certain countries are saying, but hey, we want a piece of the pie from this business model that you're describing, because let's say, you know, you have a small country in Africa, and the WHO identifies that there is a pandemic there. They can have access to the pathogen. They demand the country gives them the pathogen information, and off the back of that, you have all these pharmaceutical companies that will use that to develop the jabs. And these smaller nations that have less power are demanding that they also be rewarded financially by this essentially cartel. We can really refer to this as a cartel that is being created with the help of the WHO, with the WHO effectively acting as a middleman, a facilitator.
What are we're going to hold you through the break. We're going to go to break here in a minute. But just tell me, who are the member nation states, as you see it, that are actually driving the process?
Well, listen, you definitely have the United Kingdom. You definitely have the United States, the regime that is currently in place. I would like to mention, because it's very important for people to know, that President Trump in June or July, I believe, 2020, had started the process to exit the WHO, to withdraw the United States of the WHO. But unfortunately, the timing, there is a certain period, I think it's a one-year time frame for it to be processed. And one of the first things on the first day that Biden was installed in the White House was to sign an executive order repealing that decision by President Trump. And so it is essentially the countries that are tied with these pharmaceutical companies, you know, these stakeholders that stand to benefit the most from this cartel that they are creating, that are driving this process. It's about money, Steve, essentially. And this is what James has been hammering people about, because there are so many people, you know, that thankfully are trying to raise public awareness about the dangers emanating from the WHO and what's going on. But as I said, it's confusing. It's confusing even for me, you know, to look at all of these things. But one person that is doing such an incredible job, and this is why we've started these series of podcasts together, to really break it down, because, you know, we do 1 hour and a half, 2 hours long conversations in order to really get to the truth of what is actually happening, because it is done on purpose that we don't understand what is going on.
No, it's not to confuse. Okay, can you hang on? We're going to take a break here in about a minute, and I'm going to hold you, and I want to bring you back, because I think it's shocking to people to know. And by the way, the Republican House just approved this, the financing of it. President Trump got us out, or started the process, the clock ticking of 1 year. He would have gotten us. I would have been out by last May or June when this thing kicked up. Remember, we spent all this time last May with Michelle Bachmann and with Noor bin Laden and this whole team going through this. And they said we had a 1 year reprieve until it was going to be solidified. But when he comes back, I'm going to ask her about, since they have no credibility in the states given their performance during the pandemic, it's almost mind boggling that they're put forward as the agency or the entity or the institution that would drive this. I think you've heard enough now to be concerned about your own health. That's why Jace Medical, remember Jace Medical took the Rosemary Gibson book about the Chinese controlling the supply chains of active pharmaceutical ingredients and generics and turn it into a business. But they're much more than that. And if this is not getting you concerned, this conversation with Noor bin Laden about what the World Health Organization has in store for us, just go to jacemedical.com today. Talk to their experts about getting the Jace case, but also making sure you're prepared for any emergency or anything to deal with your medicines. Don't let the Chinese Communist Party come in the way of that. JaceMedical.com and promo code Bannon, you get the big discount. Make sure you go to Jace Medical today. Immerse yourself in information, exactly like Birch Gold. Think you listen to people like Noor, you understand why gold's at an all-time high. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Go check that day. Talk to Philip Patrick. And back in a moment with Noor.
The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
Are you tired of progressive corporations and exhausted trying to keep up with all the virtue signaling when you're simply trying to buy products? Progressive corporate America continues to push messaging that further alienates conservative Americans, all while eroding the future of the American dream. It's prominent all over the country. Companies like Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion. Financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Makeup companies like Maybelline making a mockery of women by supporting transgender models. And beer companies like Bud Light forcing gender ideology on you when all you want is to enjoy a cold beer. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer with our hard-earned dollars. With Public Square, we now have a solution. It's simple. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. That's publicsq.com. Public Square is an app and website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Whether you're looking to buy coffee, find a new athletic clothing, that knows what a woman is and shop for clean skincare, or simply find a new restaurant in your community that won't lecture you about your political views. PublicSQ.com is your resource. Public Square also offers discounts to many high-quality businesses on the platform so that you can actually receive incentive for spending money with companies that don't hate you. Public Square is free to join as consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at PublicSQ.com. Remember, either as a consumer or a business owner, download the app now. That's PublicSQ.com, PublicSQ.com.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
Like I said, we make available to you the top people at Birch Gold. Make sure you use that. Take advantage of it. Doesn't cost you anything to go over, immerse yourself in information, find out why gold's at an all-time high. Of course, all the research reports saying it's going to go much higher. We don't give you personal financial advice, but we lay out the macro arguments about what's happening to the world's economy. But talk to the expert at Birch Gold, birchgold.com/Bannon. Get you access to all the free information we put up there. The end of the dollar empire. We're coming out with the fifth installment here shortly. We got four up there now that you can read and get in depth through, but you can talk to Philip Patrick and the team, and that's what you should do. When you hear about James Ratowski and Rakowski, and you hear about Noor bin Laden and the work they're doing, want to make sure you get access to their research, also their podcast. Noor, here's what I think people find very hard to take here in the country. Hard to understand and hard to like, are you kidding me? This guy, the head of the World Health Organization, was the individual that absolutely, and we know as a matter of empirical fact, lied to people. I think it was January 12th, 13th, and 14th of 2020. After the war room had already started talking about a pandemic coming out of Wuhan, he specifically put out tweets and saying there showed there was no human-to-human transmission, that this was not a problem, not an issue. I mean, he's on the record. He can never pull that back. And we now know that he knew that that was a lie, and that was being fed to him by the senior people of the Chinese Communist Party that did not want a panic in mainland China and didn't want them held to account or any kind of, you know, to be quarantined and not to have people travel throughout the world. As we know, they went to the big fashion show in Milan, right, because they're a textile powerhouse. And they sent people over there, and that's one of the reasons it exploded in Europe, and particularly in Italy. This guy, Tedros, is absolutely not even a question he's guilty of that. The empirical evidence is there. What he knew, who he talked to, he sent out. How possibly, one, could that guy even have a job and not be tried up on criminal charges? Number two, how can he still be the guy that's now pushing a more global response to something that he willfully, of his own accord, said wasn't happening at the very moment that you needed to get on top of this and stop the spread of it? Noor bin Laden.
Well, Steve, there are so many things to say. First of all, there are so many lies surrounding COVID-19, what it was, the death rate, et cetera. We could have discussions for hours about what actually went down in 2020, early 2020, late 2029. But one thing is certain, and I think this is really important for the audience to hear, is that we cannot forget the videos of people supposedly like falling in the street and dying, and the fear mongering that was unleashed on the world for something that wasn't as dangerous by any stretch as what they were purporting it to be. And we talked about this throughout this this show up to now. Fear mongering is the name of the game, and they will use the same playbook again the next time around. And I absolutely agree with you. You cannot trust anything that comes out of the mouth of Tedros Ghebreyesus, in the same way that you cannot trust what comes out of the mouth of any representative of these globalist institutions. And I think, you know, we can discuss for hours what's going on, try to clarify all the confusion. But one thing that is certain, we have to go back, look at the history, and look at who was behind the creation of the WHO, who was behind the creation of the United Nations, what were their motives. And from its inception, the WHO was intended to be a vehicle to harm and deceive world populations, and to be weaponized against them in the respective member states. In the respective member states, you know, that comprise the WHO. And so it's not a question about what's the budget, how much should we be sending to the WHO, arguing, you know, with your representatives who actually don't represent you at the end of the day. It's about exiting the WHO, and dismantling the WHO. This organization has nothing to do with health, as I said earlier, and is not here to help you, me, and all of us in our respective nations at all. It is actually intended to harm us and to control us by all these different mechanisms that they have.
Okay, let's go back to then the founding. Show me the receipt. Show me the empirical evidence, because that's a quite harsh. When you take WHO, you think it's these selfless public health officials that are working for the good of mankind, for the collective humanity. You know, they've always got the photos. They're the guys in sub-Saharan Africa. They're the people in the poorest parts of India. They're kind of like a secular legion of Mother Teresa's, right? They're just the best. They work for, you know, way below wages. They put the sacrifice for humanity first, and yet you're saying it is constructed and built to harm us and deceive us. How do you back that up, ma'am?
Oh, well, we can go back, as we've done in a few of our segments before, Steve. We can go back to the League of Nations, and there was already an attempt to build a health body within the League of Nations back then in the early 20th century. We know that the League of Nations failed. And so after World War II, they tried it again with the United Nations, and the WHO is the health regulating body of the United Nations. One player is central to the creation of both these health bodies, and it is the Rockefeller Foundation. The WHO could not exist without direction and funding of the Rockefeller Foundation. And we know that the Rockefeller Foundation in essentially constructed this entire big pharma system throughout the 20th century that we see right now. And I mean, it's so obvious to me with the research that I've done, and also the research that James Rogusky has done, that they do not want us to be healthy. This is a business model. They gain from keeping us as client. And so they will produce medication that will perhaps, you know, curtail or help with the with certain symptoms, but it will not cure us of the underlying problem, or it would create other effects where they send you to get other medication. This is all about business, Steve. And if you want to go even deeper, you could actually argue that it is even more sinister if you look at the depopulation plans of the globalists and what the globalists have had since the early 20th century, and which is the driving force, I believe, of the creation of these institutions at the end of the day. And, you know, they don't use we don't use, quote, the term eugenics anymore. It's been repackaged and branded differently to be more acceptable to people with the, you know, the euphemism population control. But you have these quotes from these globalist voices, the people pushing for one world government that were pushing the new world order from the early 20th century. They're on record. I didn't prepare this for this segment today, but I have so many of these quotes that I can share with the audience, and I share some of them on my Substack as well, in my various articles.
Let me go back to something you said, because we're obviously want to go and drill down more on this as we go forward, because we're starting the 60-day clock to stop this. President Trump started the process of getting us out. What we argued, and we got it out last summer, was that since we don't have the executive power, we have the power of the purchase set up by the founders. And so we zeroed out the World Health Organization. We can't say to get out, but we can cut the money off, which is tantamount to at least beginning the process until President Trump returns of getting us out. That was all put back in. So we got to be blunt. We lost that fight because the globalist Republicans in the Senate and the House snuck it back in and then, you know, passed this kind of under the cover of night, dropping it at 2:30 in the morning so nobody could read it. What is to be done? When you and James look at this, and you're going to be feeding us more information, we got 60 days. The House is back in a couple of days. I know that Frank Gaffney, the Committee on the Present Danger, is doing magnificent work kind of behind the scenes, but we're getting ready to go full bore up on the ramparts like we did last summer when we got the funding out, we took the funding to zero. What is your call to action? What do you think needs to be done here? Because, Nora, I can tell you, the more every time I send out clips on segments we do on this, people's heads blow up. They can't believe that we're trading our sovereignty and really the health of individuals, which should be their one of their number one priorities, but it's their priority, that we're trading that out to the Bill Gateses of the world, the Rockefeller Foundations, the Big Pharma, who nobody trusts, and particularly international bodies that have already proven at least their gross negligence and incompetence, and probably worse than that, their malfeasance in working with our enemies, that how this is even being conceived and how the United States is not just spending time on this, but we're one of the driving forces in back of it. So what is your call to action? Besides, and we're going to make sure that people get access to your Now podcast and the Substacks and everything Frank's doing, so we're going to immerse people in information. What do you think needs to be done here by the War Room Posse, this kind of vanguard of in this cadre of warriors, needs to be done to make sure that we don't get sucked into this May?
This is a great and very important question, Steve. You know, since I started speaking out publicly, I have been very vocal in my love and affection for the United States of America on a personal level, but also in terms of understanding that the United States, as intended to function by its founders, is the one country, one nation that is standing in the way of the globalists and their institutions, these vehicles that they use to realize their agenda of a one world centralized government. And from my research, from my studying, it is so clear to me that you see the decline of the United States is parallel to the rise of globalism and the architecture that they've been working so hard to build through the 20th century. And so we are at this inflection point where either the United States, the people of the United States, manage to clean up their nation and completely rid their government of what I refer to as the ANOs, the Americans in name only, that are sent, that are in Congress, that are in Senate, that are in the executive branch, you know, unfortunately in the judicial branch and in the intelligence community. Your country has been infiltrated by traitors, and I don't use this word lightly. And they are the people that are helping transfer the sovereignty of the American people to these international institutions that whose objective is to destroy the United States of America in order to instaur this new world government. This is really what's been going on throughout the 20th century, even longer, even since the revolution. And this is why I say that we are in a battle for the independence of America, because throughout this time frame that we're discussing, your independence has been chipped at, and you are no longer an independent nation. You have people who have willfully signed up to these organizations, to these institutions, who have ratified these treaties that have superseded and violated the U.S. Constitution. And so the only way out of this is to rid your government of these people who are not representing you, but who are representing the globalists in power at the top of the pyramid.
So is your recommendation, I mean, that is a startling conclusion, but I would believe that 99% of this audience would agree with you 100%. In this inflection point, do you believe it's all important for us to make sure that we stop at least the United States being party to this convention or this accord from the World Health Assembly in May?
100%, but I think it's deeper than that. I really do think it's about exiting the WHO altogether. It's not just about not ratifying or signing off on this treaty specifically or convention specifically. And, you know, the really worrying thing is that these international health regulations have already been ratified. Amendments don't require any type of special action in order for them to be implemented. As long as the delegate that is being sent, you know, from Washington, D.C. doesn't object, as long as, you know, the delegates of the member nations don't object, the international health regulation amendments will be adopted. And that's the instrument that is being used, you know, when it comes to the quarantines, the vax mandates and the travel requirements with digital identification, et cetera. So this is incredibly worrisome. And in some ways, not to say that the convention is not important, because it is, for everything that we've discussed in terms of the business model that they're building out with it, but the international health regulations that nobody's really talking about, and certainly not the media, as I mentioned, you know, at the very outset of of our conversation today, we cannot lose sight of these two tracks. And the most straightforward solution is to just get out of the WHO.
Well, I can represent to you, I think President Trump is, I believe he's adamant about that. I mean, he was adamant in the spring of 2020. And then I believe he's even more adamant today. And I will tell you that people are furious after the fact of finding out they stuck the funding for the World Health Organization. People felt that we had, although not out, that we had cut our funding. And everybody understands that the U.S. cuts their funding, it's going to be very tough for them to operate. And so there was the three-card money here to actually get it back in. How can people – I want to make sure everybody gets to – we're going to spend a lot of time with you between now and May as we fight this thing. How do people get to the podcast and your Substack? And then I want to hear how people follow you on social media.
Sure. Thanks, Steve. So we're going to be doing these regular talks with James, these podcasts that really go in-depth. Looking at these documents. And so you can find these podcasts on my Rumble channel, Noor Bin Laden. And I post about them also on my Substack, noorbinladen.substack.com. I'll also mention James Roguski's Substack, jamesroguski.substack.com. And my social media, as long as I can use it, is Noor Bin Laden on X and also on Getter.
Noor, fantastic. You're a true warrior, and we look forward to having you back on. We'll send everybody over to the sites to make sure they immerse themselves in this information during Holy Week. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
She is, she's a patriot. It's like during the revolution. You had many people from foreign countries, and here in the United States, I got to tell you, she is absolutely amazing. And her love of this country is extraordinary. And her understanding of the importance of the United States is only, quite frankly, an outsider can see it. A couple of things here. This Holy Week, we're going to have amazing programming. We're going to be up every day, so make sure you can always get your news and information. And particularly, we're going to break down like Holy Saturday. We always have specials on Holy Saturday, and we always have specials on Holy Thursday, Good Friday. So we'll be doing all that. A couple of things. If you like, and I know a lot of the audience's feedback, our new contributor, Jim Rickards, he writes a monthly newsletter called Strategic Intelligence. If you like what you hear from Jim, the newsletter is a kind of a must read by power players throughout the world, hedge fund managers, media executives, et cetera. You can get access to it, and you get access to a special deal. Go to Rickards, and that's Rickards with an S, Rickards War Room, all one word, .com, RickardsWarRoom.com. You go there, and that cuts you through to Paradigm Press, which is the overall publisher of it. Strategic Intelligence, it's a monthly newsletter. I think once you realize you'll start reading it, you'll say, hey, I love this, and I want to get more and more in depth. But go and make sure you check it out with Jim Rickards, one of the great contributors that we have. Also, Birch Gold. Make sure you go to Birch Gold. Talk to the professionals. We're giving you access. We have commitments when people come that they get access to their consultants and staff and senior executives need be when you want to go and find out information. This is what Birch Gold is. They've given us Philip Patrick, who's the expert, their chief analyst over there. You start to understand why gold every couple of days is hitting another all-time high. So go to birchgold.com/Bannon. And of course, I'm working on that central bank digital currency. It'll be the fifth installment. So make sure you check it out. Also, I want to finish with Shen Yun. Go to shenyun.com. You get all about the tickets. This is classic Chinese culture. We absolutely love it. You see what this Maoist revolution here is trying to destroy us. Let's leave with that. Lou Dobbs follows us next.
More than just beautiful dance. It's a touch of the divine. More than just legends. It's the beautiful culture and wisdom of China before communism. More than just a performance, it's an experience that awakens the soul. See it at least once in your lifetime. Shen Yun, an all-new production every year.
Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today this IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
That's code War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.